Welcome to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. I'm your host, Todd Perlmutter. Our world is a projection of our collective consciousness. The more peace we bring into our lives, the more peace we bring into this world. So let the transformation begin. The human mind is like a old-time traveling salesman who sells stuff out of the back of their wagon and has something for everyone. Whatever you're looking for. If this isn't it, just wait 1 second. I've got something in the back. And the human mind is always trying to show our consciousness, our true self, something to buy into, something to engage with. And it's constantly searching for things that it can pull up from our past, something that we may be anticipating about our future. And it will keep showing us things, keep latching onto thoughts or memories until it finds something that we'll really invest our time with and engage in. Typically, that thing that it can grasp onto, that it knows we will engage with, and it will get to be the star of the show because we will just be totally absorbed in thought, is negative past experiences. Those things we all ruminate on and just obsess over. Everyone can relate to those times where we have a social interaction, and 10 minutes after it's over, we think of something we wish we had said. Oftentimes, it's during an argument, and we wish we had thought of a really great point to make. So often, we scream out loud to ourselves, "Why didn't I say that? Oh, I should have said this." That would have been the perfect comeback. And while that's a very clear example, our mind does this all the time. And it is constantly bringing up a painful past, our regrets, our mistakes, our failures, and it especially loves to bring up regrets for other people, things we wish other people had done, things we wish people hadn't done. And so in the gap between our perfect ideal life and reality, the failures, the regrets, the mistakes, is the area that our ego loves to bring up. It doesn't want to make us suffer. It just doesn't want to feel left out. It doesn't want you to get away without making a sale. It only has strength and power when it controls us, which is when we believe it is us, when we believe that we need it, that it is essential to our survival, and that it makes our life bearable, that we need that entertainment, that inner monologue, that constant distraction in order to understand and appreciate our life. And while it is annoying to have a traveling salesman following us around 24/7, always shouting really enticing things to engage with, it is possible to make peace with that salesman, to make peace with that constant shouting in our ears, and it is possible to even retrain that salesman so that instead of it showing us the worst moments in our lives and the worst imagined future, showing us our mistakes, showing us how others mistreated us, and reliving those worst moments of our lives over and over again to the point where they take up the majority of our life, even though these moments were so brief and practically non-existent. I mean, the moment something happens is but the blink of an eye. And the memory, the trauma, the way it changes us can last a lifetime. So we have to retrain the ego, retrain that salesman to stop showing us what we don't want to see and start showing us what we do want to see. And it's not too unlike how we would train the algorithms on our social media to show us content that we want to engage with. If we're not careful, you know, it can show us videos of people getting hurt or people being cruel. But if we consciously seek out positive content, if we skip over the mental junk food content and click not interested, or better yet, log off, take a break, be present. And in our lives, this looks like turning our attention directly onto our thoughts, to spend time paying attention, noticing whatever keeps popping up. Notice what we cannot let go of. Really begin to notice what our mind is doing most of the time. And by putting this microscope on the ego itself, two things happen. Number one, it suddenly goes on its best behavior. Instantaneously, unconscious thinking becomes conscious and infused with intention. Often, just turning our attention to our thoughts makes them stop. And the second thing that happens is when we turn our attention to our thoughts, we can control our thoughts, and we're more easily able to direct and guide our thinking. And this is one of the most important skills any human can learn, because we either live the life that the world around us chooses for us, or we stop just reacting. We stop just responding to the world as it is already around us, and we choose consciously a new path forward that is free from our conditioning, from our upbringing, and we create the life that was meant for us. A Buddhist monk that I met in Thailand told me that using a mantra, whether it's Om or Buddha or Jesus or just humming, it can literally be anything. Anything that holds our mind to one sound or word. It can be a meaningless word, it can be a foreign word, it can be a meaningful word or phrase. But whatever it is, the Buddhist monk told me, is a net for our mind. And it captures a wild mind and it brings it down to a settled place, and it can calmly and peacefully rest in this one sound or word. And if we practice mantra meditation, it really does directly strengthen a muscle that we can then use later throughout the day, which is this directed, guided, focused thinking. When we start practicing the meditation, it becomes easier to stay mindful of our thoughts, to not let our mind go to a place it's been a million times before that just is negative and ruminates and obsesses and wastes our time, makes us suffer needlessly, doesn't help us think a problem through, doesn't help us move on, but the opposite. It is creating suffering. It is preventing us from moving on. We've already looked at it. We've already thought about it a million times. We're not repressing. We're not suppressing. What we are doing is realizing we are stronger than that monkey mind, that unconscious, wild thinking that is undirected and unguided and unintentional. That we are above that. That the true me and you is above the ego. It is the witness to the thoughts. And so the more we notice a repetitive thought come up, we simply remind ourselves how that situation wasn't so bad, how it could have been worse, how we are stronger and wiser, how we can turn it into good. And no matter how senseless and how tragic something is in our lives, we can always help someone else who's going through something similar. And we can always turn it into something good. There is always a way when we are going down a downward spiral and just on a negative stream of thought, going straight down. There is always some thought that will help us pull ourselves up. And it usually is a thought about gratitude and sending love to either our past selves or to someone who we feel has wronged us. The act of sending love, wishing someone well, wishing them health, wealth, and happiness, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get it, but you will instantly have peace and healing, and you will feel love. Now, I don't mean to say it and not mean it and hope that we can feel those benefits, but if we can force ourselves to say it and mean it, we unload that burden. We feel lighter. And when we feel lighter, we are energized. We are focused. We are rested. We are calm. We are seeing things clearly. And the entire world opens up to us. We see opportunities where we thought there were none. We see new friendships and relationships popping up all around us. And we see everything in brighter colors with more vivid smells and more beautiful sounds. I don't mean we should go to an abuser and tell them, take me back. No way. This is purely internal. This is just confronting those thoughts that are making us suffer for no reason, that we've dealt with a million times and just keep popping up. That is a burden that we are choosing to hold on to. If we made a mistake in the past, we were doing our best and we were acting with the information we had at the time. And if we are holding anger and resentment towards someone else who hurt us, we can know that even they were acting at the level of their consciousness. This is no justification or excuse. This is merely to help us understand human nature and the way people are, so that we can develop some understanding so that we can heal and so that we can live a life free from our past. We are a traumatized species, and we don't have enough trauma specialists. The entire course of human history is packed with violence and cruelty. And so everything in our modern society makes sense when you realize that everybody is playing their part in a world that is unfolding and discovering itself. Just as there is no sadness for a dragonfly when a frog catches one in its tongue, because there's no anger, there's no resistance, there's no hatred. And we understand that the frog is just being a frog. And so too, every human is just being a human in their situation with their brain chemistry, just as we would do in their shoes. There is no accident. There is no mistake. Every single thing happens because of so many factors that came before it that no event can be blamed for any misfortune in our lives, because it only exists because of so many events that came before it. The more we trace our own thinking, the more we understand, how did I come to the thought I'm having right now? What triggered it? What triggered that? What triggered that? The more we start to see how everything is connected, how everything relates to everything else, and the idea of blaming ourselves or someone else for their behavior, their words, their choices would be insane, because no person is a person. They are their parents. They are their community. They are their ancestors. They are every living being on this planet that ever was and ever will be. So to hate ourselves, our past selves, or others, is to hate life itself, because it is all part of the experience of life. It is all perceived on the backdrop of life. Life is the whole game. It is the consciousness that witnesses this magical universe. And the more we're present, the more we recognize this beauty all around us, and the easier and more natural it becomes to stay present, because why would we want to leave this perfect moment? Life is a meditation. Life is a sacred ceremony. It is the practice. And so we must give it our sacred attention. We must practice with effort to be present with it while it's here. We're all here for this short time. And for what else are we here to do than to love and feel bliss and make sure that everyone else is having a good time on our way out? That is the cycle of life that we are striving for. And the past doesn't matter. The past is irrelevant. The past only exists as the burning embers of a bygone time and to try to catch those embers would be to miss the fireworks. We can't change the past, but we can choose how we relate to it. Is it with gratitude, with wisdom, or is it regret and resentment? The choice is always ours, and the choice is pretty clear. And whenever that past trauma does pop up and rear its ugly head, which it surely will if that has been the habit for months or years, remember that we can be grateful for our awareness of that trauma. We can be grateful for awareness itself. And gratitude is an instant killer to that inner complainer. So be aware of that awareness and be aware of how it grows. And it may not change overnight, but we can be grateful that we're on the journey towards healing. You have been listening to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. Being here and putting in this important and noble work is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself and others. If you found this podcast even a little helpful, please make sure to leave a review so it can reach others who may be in need. And remember, the path to peace starts with a single step.